Welcome to Modern Day Abigails. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So let's listen to God's Word, where everyday lives transform and where we can become the women God created us to be.
Of the Lord, O nations, United States included in nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, "He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of the one stronger than he." We're supposed to tell people that God is bringing them back. He is restoring Israel, and we get to watch him restore Israel. Yes, we have seen some sad stuff. The hostages, a lot of the hostages are still there. There is a woman we've been praying for. Her husband was one of the hostages. She just gave birth to her little son, but she doesn't know where her husband is. She doesn't know if he's a dead or alive. That to me is worse than anything. Knowing my right. husband was dead would be better than not knowing if he was dead or alive.
Right.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all you can do is
Terrific.
Pray that he's, yeah. And so all you can do is pray that he is still alive. So we're watching the Lord restore Israel and the people to come back, because God, Jesus, is coming back to sit on his throne in Jerusalem. He's got to have it ready.
Amen.
I can't wait. Okay. Now, he's also a restorer to us. And we see this in Psalm 23:3. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Psalm 51:2. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." 2 Corinthians 5:18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation." He wants to restore us. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to change. He wants us to be a new creation. He's not standing there looking like, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" He wants to be a part of it. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants that relationship. That's what I love about this book. It's about a relationship. It's not shagging up anymore. It's not living together. Somebody was talking about how most children are born out of wedlock. I said, yeah, because they're all just hooking up, or they're just living together because nobody wants commitment. Because the enemy decided, hey, let me try to ruin God's plan by undoing what God did in the Garden of Eden. Creating marriage.
Yeah.
Creating commitment. Creating relationship. So what does Satan do? Let's get rid of relationship. We need to get rid of bad relationships. Okay. Doesn't mean we have to hate somebody. We don't have to hate. We can just love them from afar.
Getting rid of the marriage commitment is also getting rid of true intimacy, which the Lord created.
And the Lord said, no fornication and adultery. But that's exactly what people are doing, because God said that because it's about commitment, about marriage. He wants to show who he is.
Right.
So when it says, "I am my beloved's," it's a oneness. She's recognized she belongs to him. When we first met her, she didn't have a sense of belonging. She felt worthless. But then she met the king.
She thought she was ugly.
She did. Who are we when we meet the king of the universe? John 15:5. "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Can't do anything. And I remember the Lord telling me that time he and I had a good long chit chat when I was about 20 something years old. Mm-hmm. And it was not a long chit. Well, it felt long, but yet at the same time, the clock didn't move. It was the weirdest. Joanna, it was the weirdest thing. But I knew I was in his presence. And when I told him I was nothing but an ant that was squishable, all I heard him say was, "But through Christ, you are everything." Mm-hmm. He didn't disagree with me. Right. I was nothing until I had Christ.
Right.
Then I was everything. And that's what this is. He's saying that when you have me, you are everything. And that's what she is seeing. And then Romans 8:38-39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And we're going to talk more about the seal in the next chapter. So I don't want to bring that in yet. But I do want to say, I get so annoyed when people were like, "Oh, well, you can lose your salvation." Oh, so you're more powerful than this?
You're more powerful than God that you can separate yourself from God. Because according to this, nothing can separate us.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me if you lose your salvation, you're more powerful than God. How dare you? Sorry.
Well, then that tells me, one, you don't understand the Lord. And two, you're not really saved.
No, because if you had that relationship with Jesus, you would understand. You know, and there's people we know who believe you can be. Mm-hmm. And I love them to death. We're just going to have to, you know, disagree on that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm saying that he says that there's nothing that can separate us. So if there's nothing, you're not more powerful. So you can't be separated.
To those people, where in the Bible do you see that we can?
I forgot there is a scripture they'll go back to, but I think it's misunderstood because it's in Hebrews. It's in Hebrews.
It's taken very out of context.
But it's taken out of context because in that context, it was you never believed in the first place.
Right.
So, of course, when you hear it, you're not going to be saved. You're going to be able to because you never believed it in the first place, even though you might, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But my thing is, I am so excited to know that nothing can separate us. Nothing.
Talk about when you come from our past. Where we were abandoned and unloved, and flip it around to this.
Yes.
I mean, I can't, I'm overwhelmed.
I am too.
Overwhelmed.
Yes. Exactly. And that's a good point. Because, you know, when you have that broken heart from abandonment, and in my case, it was really a good thing. It was. I mean, the Lord rescued my son and I from my ex-husband. He rescued us. But it still was an abandonment feeling.
Sure.
And I always wrestled with that. I'm like, why? Because it was a marriage and it was never supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to have that severness, but the Lord restored it. He restored me. He gave me back. He gave me a wonderful husband. I don't have to go through that. But now I did wait. I didn't go into a relationship right away or get married right away. We'd been separated for a year and we'd gotten divorced and then Ray decided he wanted to be my friend. And we did stay friends for a long time. Now, exactly what point did we move from friendship to non-friendship? I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
No.
It was a smooth blend in.
Yeah. And, I forgot what I was going to say, but.
I'm sorry.
It's just.
We're talking about abandonment and that the Lord.
Oh, the rescue. Yeah. I feel the same way. I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, 20 years of complete hell and horrificness and chaos and such mental abuse that led me to be suicidal and to now.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Exactly.
And
we don't even know each other before then.
No, not at all. And I always thought that the Lord rescued me and I've always thanked him for removing me and saving me from that.
Exactly.
I did go through 20 years, but I believe that those 20 years were part of my journey to learn and to grow. And
I did. My relationship developed with the Lord because of that situation.
Yeah.
Because I actually saw things I had never seen before because I did have a good family.
Yeah, you did.
So when I got out of that and was put into this new environment where I saw fighting, and I saw hatred and at his house and saw, just like I said, meanness and hatred and, drunkenness. I'd never seen any of that before.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say
you probably didn't know how to process it.
I didn't know. I was traumatized for a long time because I saw things I had never seen before and I was being abused and I didn't even know I was abused. How do you know you're abused if you never even if you've never been around and nobody, how do you know you've been abused?
I didn't know I was abused until my mind started clearing and the Lord started showing me.
Well, some of it was after.
And it shocked me.
Mine was after the fact. And some of it is because Ray and I, we started out as friends. And for whatever reason, I was very comfortable with him and would tell him things that I hadn't even told my parents. And in fact, they brought that one time they were here when Ray had me to speak for a few minutes. They probably learned more than they had ever known because I never really told them.
Yeah.
And
I didn't tell
nobody.
My family anything.
And he was the one who goes, Anna, that's not normal. That's not right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what, really? He's like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And then I was in a class with one of my parents' friends and she had had a really good marriage. He died. I think it was a good marriage. It seemed like a good marriage. He died and she met a guy later and she wound up in an abusive relationship. So when she got out of that, she actually helped me too tell me, hey, that was abuse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course, you know, it was after the fact, but it was like, okay, but I didn't know why I was being told this until we learned from the John McTernan's ministry about Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
And that's when the Lord started showing me, hey, remember those things we talked about that was abuse? Yeah. You got broken hearts over this.
Yeah. I got a broken heart just realizing how abused I was.
Yes.
I didn't know because living with a narcissist, mine was super high level and he was very covert, which means they do it so slyly and so nonchalantly that you don't even know what's happening until it's just too late.
Yeah.
And by that time, so much damage is done and you're so trapped. And I was telling you the other day that I realized that you ended up having a friendship and then ended up getting married.
Yeah.
I took a different route. I never got remarried.
Right.
And not because I didn't want to. Okay. Not true. For a long time, I had zero. I was very comfortable in my singleness. And then the Lord began to change that. And now I'm super uncomfortable in my singleness. And I'm ready. But I was telling you the other day, so John and I split up at the beginning of 2007, and we got divorced at the end of 2013. So add up those years, and that was 17 years ago, but completely divorced 11.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe the time frame. And I sat there before I even texted you that. I sat there and I'm like, that can't be right. And I re-added it all up. And I'm like, that can't be right.
Mine was 13 years before I got remarried.
And I was just, yes, but he was in your life.
Yeah, he was. Well, yeah.
There's been no one in my life.
Exactly. He started as a friend, but it was but the Lord was working on him too. And it was such a roller coaster for a long time because the Lord was working on him too. And there was a few times I'm like, Lord, what are you doing to me?
Right.
And he goes, you prayed, remember?
I know, but you didn't date anybody else.
No, I did not. No.
It was just y'all him. All that time. Me? There's not been anybody.
Hey, I'm not saying I would do it my way.
That's
what the Lord
I'm
needed.
With you. Yeah. I'm with you.
But I'm thankful. I got to see Bray go through amazing changes and I got to watch the Lord really work in his life. So I am very thankful. But he'll also come back and tell you, he goes, okay, I didn't do right. I shouldn't have waited that long.
Yeah. And he's told other people, don't wait as long as I did.
Yeah. But you're right. I firmly believe the Lord has somebody for you and that you won't be dating very long.
Okay. And that's great. But what I'm saying is there's two, you know, the Lord does different things with us.
Everybody's different.
Yeah. After we've come out of the trauma, and he just takes us on different, like you and I have completely different after
stories. Exactly. I know. I didn't want to be with Ray. I didn't like him. I want him to stay away from me. I didn't need him. I told him that. I don't need you.
Yeah.
And apparently the Lord.
And he's like,
I told the Lord when I gave my life, when I told the Lord,
he said, you know what he said to that? Challenge accepted.
Yes, he did. And, but I told him, I admit it. Some of it was my fault because when I first gave my life to the Lord, I told him, I said, look, my son needs a dad, but I don't need a husband.
Yeah.
And you know, it was years later and all of a sudden I hear the Lord goes, you know, you need to repent from that, right?
You can't have one without the other.
Joanna,
just point out facts.
The Lord was a father to the fatherless. The Lord was so gracious to my son.
That's true.
He was a father to the fatherless, but the Lord did remind me one day. He says, you know, you need to repent from that.
Yeah.
Because it's not about you, but sometimes he needs, you know, sometimes it's that you need to be a wife to somebody. And the Lord did tell me later on, he goes, you need to pray to be the wife he needs for the ministry. So he told me you were being selfish and you need to repent from being selfish.
Yeah.
So like, okay, I'm sorry. And it was still a few years after that before I got to get married.
Yeah.
That's why we had a very quick wedding. Yeah. I wasn't going to let it go. Just in case. Hurry up. We got to get this done. Anyway, the other day I forgot what I said or did. And I said, I told him, I said, you can't return me. Too late.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I did.
And I do believe that when the Lord brings somebody that I don't think there will be a long engagement.
No, it'll be either.
In my 50s, so let's rock and roll on this.
We had that cute couple in our church. That's what they said. They're like, hey, we're getting you married. And Ray's like, y'all haven't been dating that long. And they're like, at our age, we don't have long.
For reals. I'm right there.
Oh, that's so
right
cute.
There. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the whole point of that was
we're being restored. The Lord is restoring us even to this point, but he's not going to be done with us until he returns.
Even though the routes are completely different, the Lord does what he does with, and each thing is different.
Don't be jealous if you hear somebody else's, you know, oh, look at what they get to do. Well, how come they get to do that? Because the Lord's got you on your own little trail that he needs you on.
Everybody's
different.
And like for me, and I've mentioned this before, I hang out with y'all all the time.
Yes, you did.
I'm always with y'all.
We love it.
And never once have I felt like a third wheel. We wouldn't ever want
you to feel that way.
But and my mind doesn't work that
good.
Way. You know, it just doesn't.
Mm-mm.
And so it's all in the perspective. And what do you see what the Lord's doing? Or do you not?
Right. We know a young couple, they're about to get married and she has a best friend. And we're like, it's okay to be with them. You're not a third wheel.
Yeah.
You're like the part of the unicorn or something. You know, I forgot what we said. But we wanted her to know that y'all can still hang out together.
Yeah.
And you don't have to feel like a third wheel.
Yeah.
You know.
Because I hang out with y'all all the time.
No, we love it. In fact, Ray would be like, hey, what's Gianna doing?
I go with y'all on your date night sometimes. I don't ask. Y'all call me.
Exactly. Hey, we're in town. You want to go out to dinner?
Yeah.
It's great.
So, I mean, just let the Lord do what he's going to do. And
we've all gotten pedicures together.
He's going to kill you.
Nah. He's in it for the massage chair.
Yeah.
It's either the massage chair or massage therapist, and it's about the same price. And then you still get a foot massage, and you get your feet washed and clean, and it's not like there's nail polish.
Right. None of that. And he gets to hang out with two fun girls.
Yeah, exactly. So
and then
we
always
fun.
Go eat after.
Exactly. So, I mean, in fact, I think it's...
I mean, come on.
If he gets... and I still... we do the hot stone massage.
We have to do one
on
before
the
wedding.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We do.
Well, I want to do one with Jennifer, so maybe I can...
Okay.
Maybe the four of us can go.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Our littlest niece enjoys it too now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so all that to say,
we're
restored. We're talking about restoration.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good point.
The Lord
how,
restores us differently.
Yeah, and how we've both been restored, but it's been differently. And we're still being restored. He's not done, because we just read in the passage, he's not done until he comes back for us. So he's got more work to do on us, don't he?
Oh, absolutely. I am such a work in progress.
Oh, yeah. I'll always be.
Every dang day.
I have a tendency to walk backwards too some days.
I shake my head at myself. Oh, dear, Joanna. Oh, dear.
Exactly.
Hope this day is better than yesterday.
So now we're going to see forgiveness. And it's the weird way of seeing forgiveness. This is not the way you would think you would see it. But when you read this, your first thought is, what? But when you look at it, when you read it, as I read it, I want you to look at it from a point of being forgiven. The beloved, okay, the beloved's talking. Oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Turn your eyes away from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep which have come up from the washing. Everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them. Like a piece of pomegranate are your temples behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines, they praised her. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? Does that sound like somebody? Does he sound mad at her?
Oh, no.
He should be mad at her, shouldn't he?
I mean, all over.
Exactly.
Not all over her, but...
I think he would be if he could be.
Right.
They're not quite married at this point.
Right.
I think he would be
just,
if he could.
All about her.
Yeah.
All about her. She's a goddess to him.
Well, not quite that word, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, we don't like that word.
Yeah, we don't like that word.
She's amazing. She's beautiful.
This is princess.
Yeah.
We can do that. We'll do that. And that's the woman. He loves her. He's forgiven her. And he sees her as beautiful. It's not that, I'll forgive you, but, you know, it's a... not only you're forgiven, but man, you look great.
Yeah.
Because remember, she didn't answer the door. She delayed. It was the proverbial washing your hair routine. But he forgave her quickly, and he sees the beauty that she does not even see in herself. You know, in chapter one, she didn't think very highly of herself. But the key here is forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and he cleans us from all unrighteousness. Okay, we have to forgive others when we are hurt. We want to point this out. Okay, we want to point this out because we do not agree with bad behavior. We do not agree with abuse. You should get away from it.
Run.
But forgiveness does not excuse bad behavior. It does not support bad behavior. Forgiveness allows you not to be affected by the bad behavior. And sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. I had that trouble because there's a 3 things I said I would never do, and I did it all before the age of 21. And I had a lot of
good
trouble.
Job.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I like to overaccomplish.
Overachiever.
I'm an overachiever. Couldn't even drink. Couldn't afford it. Couldn't have done it anyway because I was 21. And but I had a lot of trouble forgiving myself, and I kept trying to punish myself. So instead of asking the Lord to forgive me, accepting that forgiveness, I just decided I was going to punish myself. But after all those years of misery, and I probably would have killed myself if it hadn't been for I had my baby son. I told him several times, he probably is the only reason he basically saved my life, because I probably would have given up. But I had him to live for. And that's when the Lord said, okay, now I'm going to get a hold of your life and I'm going to change you. And he did. And that's why modern day Abigails exist, because Joanna and I know that if one life changes because of Jesus, then homes changes. And everything else around them starts
effect.
To, yeah, everything else around them. Because Jesus is that powerful. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He is willing to forgive you. If you will confess your sins, if you will believe in your heart that Jesus raised from the dead, he'll save you. It's that easy. I was telling somebody the other day about they had a broken heart. I knew they had a broken heart. I said, you know, that's a broken heart. You just have to ask Jesus to heal that broken heart, but you have to be ready to forgive. And they looked at me and they're like, well, I need a class. No.
A class?
Yeah, I'm like,
what kind of class?
I don't know. I'm like, no, you just need to ask Jesus to heal you. Well, it sounds simple enough, but you know, really, I would need a class on that. Yeah.
Well, okay. Forgiveness, broken heart 101. Here you go. Here's your class.
Yeah, but that's what I said. I'm like, you just,
look, there's no, take 5 minutes.
You just
got
to talk to Jesus about it, but you got to be ready to forgive.
You know, it's free.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Anyway, what that told me was they really didn't want the answer.
Yeah.
They didn't want the answer. And that's yeah. And you know what? Today, you don't want the answer.
Okay.
Tomorrow is another day.
And I've said it before. If you are not broken enough, then you are not going to grasp the hand of Jesus. Yeah. You're just not going to.
Yeah. No. And like I said, did you know the movie Gone with the Wind?
You know, I'm
it's okay.
I don't know why,
but I had a school who thought they, for
the
some.
One with Scarlett O'Hara
and Rhett Butler.
Okay. I've only seen it once, but I don't
know why they did. My school decided that fifth graders needed to see that movie because of the one scene about the Civil War.
Oh.
So they made us watch it.
Okay.
It was torturous. But anyway.
I bet it was for you because you don't like that.
No, I do not. It was horrible. Probably why I still don't like it to this type of stuff today. One of these days I thought, well, maybe I should watch it as an adult. And I'm like, yeah, no. But the interesting part, though, is that they were going to call it Tomorrow's Another Day, because she would always say, well, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
And I thought, actually, I like that. I'd say that work. Guys, ladies, tomorrow's another day. Just try again. So yeah. Today, you may not want that, but tomorrow is another day. And you have to really consider about wanting Jesus. Okay. So now, okay. I mean, he kept describing her, and I want to show you how in this description of her, what I believe he was saying. You know, one of the things is, of all the others out there, you're the only one I see and I can describe you. Even though Jesus has all of this, the church in a whole he sees the church as one, you know. Even though we all the believers in Jesus make the bride, and that's all he sees is his bride.
Yep.
And you're like, yeah, but
unity. Right,
yeah, but right now, as individuals, he still looks at us as if we're the only one. He looks at Joanna as if she's the only one, and she's beautiful to him. So is That's what happens when you drink bubbly water.
I actually burped on camera about an hour ago, and my thing has started popping, so Ray's going to kill me.
Look at this noise.
We're going to get a text in. Oh, this weird popping noise. Okay, it's a slime, Ray. Okay, it's a slime.
So when you get to that point, honey, now you know.
And no, I'm not going to stop.
Nope.
Thank you for letting us share our tools to become the women God created us to be. If we encouraged you today, visit us at moderndayabigails.com. Remember, you are loved, cherished, and prayed over.